Support for WPR comes from Isthmus Partners, an independent asset management firm offering comprehensive financial planning and tailored investment solutions for clients nationwide. More at isthmuspartnersllc.com.
Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, dedicated to supporting teachers for over 130 years, with master's degree and licensure options online and regionally. Viterbo.edu/graduate.
And welcome to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland. We have today our 12:30 quiz question is going to have to do, well, with music, as a matter of fact. And we have some wonderful musical guests with me, too, today. They are Michael Newman and Laura Altman, who constitute not just a husband and wife couple, but the Newman and Altman guitar duo. And they're going to be performing in Milwaukee this evening. University of Wisconsin, that's the Peck School of Arts Recital Hall at 7:30 tonight, and you will be in for a real treat and some things that you can't fully appreciate listening to it on the radio. In fact, one of the things that they'll be playing during this hour of the midday, it has such a visual component to it that we're going to be putting it on our website and on the midday Facebook page a little later, so be watching for that. And if we're stalling around at all here, it's just because we're trying to get the microphone for their guitars to work. But in the meantime, welcome to the midday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back in Wisconsin. I think the last time we played in Milwaukee, after the concert, we went out to a bar underneath a highway overpass somewhere. And it felt like it was something from an old 30s film, and there were lots and lots of big signs for all these different beers. And
that sounds like, you say that was Milwaukee?
Yeah.
That sounds like Milwaukee.
And there were taps every place for all these incredible beers. And the bartender said, what would you like? And Laura said, I'll have a gin and tonic. And the entire bar went silent. And that was the last time we were back in the last time we were in Wisconsin. So,
I don't like beer.
Well, we think by now they've gotten over it. We've been eating a lot of cheese over the years to make up for
that's
it.
That's a make good for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you mention bars, there are performers out there these days that are performing classical music in bars.
In New York, especially.
And in various other parts of the country, they're doing that. I mean, Matt Heimovitz, the cellist, is one, for example, and there are some others you read about. Is that the kind of thing that you feel that you could do or would do or have
Funny
done?
Funny you should say that. Well, we actually have played on cruise ships before, which means you're always playing in a bar. Alcohol is served every place at night.
Yeah, that's true. You played on the QE2, didn't you?
Yeah, yes. Although when we play on cruise ships, we're what's considered feature entertainers. So they're really concerts. It's just people are allowed to drink during the concerts.
But yeah, well, it depends on the ship, but they tend to have had dinner and are having drinks. So yes, but that's a little bit different. I think the reason people like to play in nightclubs is they like the informality and intimacy with the audience.
But, you know, it is somewhat ironic. The grass is always greener.
Oh, boy, I'll say, yeah.
All of the bands that play in clubs regularly would do anything to be able to play in a 500 or 600-seat concert hall. And so all of these people who are playing at Lincoln Center are thinking, wow, yeah, this would really be cool. Let's go play in a bar somewhere.
Well, the people who play in the bars don't like the fact that people don't listen as much because they're eating and drinking. You know, that's the downside.
Well, I guess the idea, isn't it, to bring the music to relatively few people at a time in order to get them to come into the concert hall.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I mean, some people... there are some composers who started out, like Astor Piazzolla, at least in New York, started out playing in nightclubs because he played Latin, you know, kind of Latin music, which, I don't know, not get too much getting into the politics of classical music, but that's not really classical music, that's ethnic music.
Oh, yeah, that's a long tradition of that, isn't there? Yes. Of the, well, guitar music in general being off to the margins.
Right, and so Piazzolla played, like the first time we heard him, he played at Sounds of Brazil, which was a nightclub that featured a lot of Latin performers. And he played with a lot of amplification, just like a nightclub performer, even though it was a really small venue, maybe, you know, 100, 150 people, and it was really loud. Because it's what you'd play, that's the way you do a nightclub show. But then he moved on to bigger venues and concert halls, and I'm sure he was happy. I'm sure he was happy to play for bigger audiences.
Sure. I remember one of Laura's guitar students, how old is he? 8 years old, when he proclaimed that his goal in life was someday to be able to play in a bar. So
he wanted to get good enough to play in a bar.
She's training them, really.
The guitar more than, let's say, other instruments, including the piano that you might play in a bar, though, is a relatively soft-spoken instrument, right?
Of course.
So is that an issue when you're playing in a kind of a noisy venue?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're playing in a big enough venue, it's become more, I think, acceptable to amplify. Pop musicians do it. And that's the other thing classical musicians have started doing more is amplifying. Some of the singers in the opera amplify. Their voices aren't really big enough, but they're really beautiful, and otherwise they're very compelling. And so it's become more acceptable, but I think also just amplification has gotten better.
That's true, too. It's gotten so it's a little more subtle. In some ways, it all started right here in Wisconsin with Les Paul, who was the guy who put the amp, you know, on the guitar. And
Boy,
did that take off? Yeah, and there's, of course, a museum to him in the Milwaukee area, if you have time.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's a portion of the museum right there on the lake. It's a Les Paul wing of the museum.
Wow. Well, we'll bring our New York Thomas Humphrey guitars from the 1970s, and they can help pay tribute.
Yeah, they're not electric, though. Yeah.
Well, there's some neat stuff for the instrument going back a couple of hundred years. And we're going to have some of the live sound now of the Newman and Altman guitar duo, starting with a favorite piece for guitarists. It's kind of funny because it was written for the piano, but it was piano music that was actually written reminiscent of guitar music. So it doesn't, I assume, translates really easily back to guitar. And so this will just be Laura playing this? Or?
No, this is, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Oh, this is
this
the
is
piece.
This is going to be the shtick.
Okay. I would say if it's shtick, it's very high-grade shtick from what I've seen of the video.
Why don't you tell all about it?
This is my Lord Chamberlain, his Galliard. And this is actually very old. It's from around 1600 for the lute. And that is an instrument that is pretty close to a guitar. We're going to play it on the guitar. It's by John Dowland.
And, of course, the fun part is that we are required to keep switching places of our left hands on the fingerboard.
Well, now there's something you've left out.
Oh, it's for two people to play on one.
Two
Ooh.
People
Loot.
Playing
sorry.
One.
It's because we're on the radio. I couldn't see what we're going to do.
Well, this is where I say that you will. We're having video taken of this of our friend Jeffrey Potter here is taking a video which you can see on our Midday Facebook page and also on our WPR.org website later, but it is something to behold. This is four hands playing one guitar, and it's quite fascinating.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
There you have the sound of four hands on one guitar, and just to give you a preview of what it will look like if you go to the website or the Facebook page later, Michael was kind of looming over Laura, and their hands were pretty completely interlocked during that performance. I mean, more so than you would see in a piano four hands, for sure.
Yeah, this is my chiropractor's favorite piece. I always have to go see him after we've performed it a few times.
Well, because you have to be very precise with your hands, and yet you're actually bending over the instrument from an odd angle.
This is a very odd angle, yes.
was that kind of thing common practice? I realize it was written for the lute, but was this common practice in McDowell's time or even later?
I wouldn't say common. That's actually the only piece
that's written that way.
Written like expressly historically. For four hands. Do you have any idea why?
Oh, probably because Lord Chamberlain had some nice young woman.
It worked for Schubert.
Yeah. I mean, that's why anybody writes that kind of thing.
It's to get a little better acquainted.
But also, you know, John Dowland worked for people who were paying him to write music. So he probably, you know, was paid by a patron to create something for a special occasion.
Tailor-made.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yes, people in 1600 had the same sense of humor, I think, that they do today, and they were trying to get the same kind of girls that they still are.
Well, that's a worthy cause.
If you'll bear with me for about one moment, I'm going to retune the guitar because we're playing pieces in different tunings.
Sure.
Should we say what's coming up next? Or?
Well, we certainly could, because I doubt if many people are going to recognize Paul Moravec.
Yeah, Paul Moravec is an American composer. He was born in Buffalo, New York, grew up in Princeton, New Jersey, which is dear to us because Laura has been the guitar teacher at Princeton University for many, many, many years. And Paul won the Pulitzer Prize in music a few years back. And we commissioned him to write this duet called Raritan Triptych.
Referring to the river?
Referring to the river, indeed. The Raritan River runs throughout New Jersey, and Laura and I have been the music directors of Raritan River Music, which puts on a festival, does commissioning, a lot of educational enrichment programs at schools throughout New Jersey. And so Paul wrote this beautiful three-movement work called Raritan Triptych, and we'd like to play for you the first of them. He writes for the guitar in a very natural way. He did play the guitar as a youth. So we hope you enjoy the music.
From the Raritan Triptych. Thank you. And triptych of Paul Moravec. That was a work commissioned by the Newman and Altman guitar duo. There are some effects in there that you don't find in some of the older music, I suppose.
The harmonics.
The harmonics, yeah. So how do those bell tones work?
Basically, what you're doing is dividing the string into equal sections. By touching at the halfway point.
It's a good opportunity to tune.
Sure, that's right.
You get to hear, and by dividing it in four equal parts, it's two octaves higher, and dividing it in thirds, you get the fifth above, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you certainly make it look easy. So take a while.
They're all there somewhere.
That? Are there pieces that, I mean, this would happen to some pianists, and I don't know if it's been an issue with either of you from what I've seen so far, but are there pieces where you say, I cannot play that chord. I mean, I don't have that kind of stretch or do you run into that at all? Or is
that something
to teach around?
Yeah, that's something that we'll work with composers quite a bit when they're creating a new work for the instrument. Very often they're not familiar with what is practical. You know, they'll know what is possible, but sometimes at certain speeds you just can't negotiate things. And sometimes we do encourage composers to not feel limited, you know, just to write what they like to write. And then we'll work with them to make sure it's playable with enough practice.
A long tradition of that. That was a pretty good interval you were playing there, I noticed. I mean, I'm not sure what chord it was, but you were pretty well stretched there, and yet it seemed to be well within your reach.
Well, when you play a lot, you get better at that kind of thing. But there are things that notes that can't be played together, and it's sometimes hard for composers to know which those are. It's not incredibly logical, like why you can do these two notes but not those two. And people do write things that you can't play. They do it kind of a lot if they're not guitarists. And sometimes that's been the reason why more renowned composers have not written for the guitar. They're afraid. They are afraid they're going to write something that you can't play or that's not idiomatic. They don't really know how to use it. And I think they're trained a lot to use other instruments. They're trained to, you know, write for orchestral instruments. They usually are pretty good pianists. They know what you can do with the piano. But guitar, it's a complicated instrument, and there's a lot of sound effects that are possible through fingering, and they don't always know how to do that, and they know they don't. So sometimes they won't write, or they're reluctant to write for guitar because they feel like they can't take full advantage of it as an instrument. But that is changing, I think, because for one thing, a lot of people now are coming into composition from backgrounds in popular music.
So true, yeah.
And they play the guitar. And there's more and more guitarists who are now writing, you know, we'll call it art music.
We're ensemble in residence at Manus College,
right,
the New School for Music in New York, where I've been teaching
that's
on the faculty for...
Quite a high-powered institution, isn't it?
Yes, for only 300 students, undergrad and grad, we've had really wonderful performers, composers, teachers over the almost 100 years of the school's existence. But since Laura and I are ensemble in residence there, we work a lot with groups that are string quartet, singers, flutists. And when we give master classes for the guitar students there, it's always with ensembles with other instruments. So being able to incorporate the guitar into the more traditional conservatory mainstream is something that Manus has been doing for over 50 years and something we've been doing for over 35. So, you know, that gives us great pleasure, being able to see all the instrumentalists working together.
But, you know, I was going to say one other thing. I think as guitar is increasingly culturally relevant, it's harder to ignore it.
That's certainly true for the last, 60 years or so.
Yeah, and so I think a lot more composers are, you know, just interested in writing for it because it's a, you know, everybody plays it everywhere around the world. So the composer we just heard, Paul Moravec, he's not known as a guitarist, but he has written for guitar. The next composer we're going to play actually is a guitarist of some great ability, Dusan Bogdanovic.
And we're going to hold that thought for just a second. I want to go ahead and do a break here. We'll get that Bogdanovic piece in before the quiz question and all of that in the next few minutes here on WPR. And we'll go a couple minutes past 12:30 for our quiz question today. Well worth the wait, though, because we have right here in our studio the Newman and Altman guitar duo. That's Michael Newman and Laura Altman. And they are going to be performing tonight at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And that will be at the Peck School of the Arts Recital Hall, 7:30 tonight. And as I said earlier, well worth being there just for the visuals alone, and not just for the four-hands piece, but always the interplay of the two performers. Now, what about Bogdanovic that you were going to say, Laura?
Well, Bogdanovic is a guitarist, and so he's very good at writing for the guitar. And this piece is from Serbia, where he was born, and its title in English is No Feathers on This Frog. And you'll just have to use your imagination because there's no particular translation that really explains that. Thank you.
Bravo. Newman and Altman with
And the crowd goes wild.
They would go wild, I would think so. They would be hopping with excitement. No Feathers on This Frog by Dusan Bogdanovich. And, you know, you could add that to the frog musical literature because the Telemann had a frog partita, I think, and there's the Frog Quartet of Haydn, I believe.
And by John Talon, the Frog Galliard.
Right, and yes. So there's a little bit of a library of frog things that you could go through there.
Really?
Probably if you add toad to it, that yeah. would also increase the literature.
I'm sure it would. Back now at the Newman and Altman Guitar Duo live in our studio here, our usual broadcast studio for the midday.
You know, my guess is that this isn't the correct answer to that quiz, but René Izquierdo, a teacher of guitar at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, just had the head smashed off of his guitar while traveling in China. And that instrument was, and probably still is for a while, not playable. So perhaps that's the answer.
That's right,
to the
and the prize is a Newman and Altman CD. So
oh,
I hope you'll enjoy that.
That'll save me a lot of money.
Many years of pleasant listening out of that. But see if you can come up with another answer out there.
Okay.
And you might win the aforementioned double prize. Laura, you went to Florida State.
Yeah, I did.
That's a school that, for being from the Sunshine State myself,
oh, you are
going
oh.
to what might be called a rival university there. I recall from a long time back that being a music school. They used
yeah.
to call it the girls' school, but
well, it used to be a yeah. women's yeah. college. Yes, a long time ago. But they have a bigger, probably like just generally arts program than the other school, the one in Gainesville. University of Florida is the other school. The big universities in Florida are those two. And Florida State always had, you know, a big theater and dance and music program.
Sure.
So, yes, so that's where I went to school because I grew up in Florida.
Oh, you did grow up in Florida.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
where in Florida?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, down south, as we say.
Uh-huh.
Back, yeah, back, basically New York.
Yeah, I was going to say back where you're so far south that you're actually north again. Well,
yes.
Here's actually. A composer who is associated very closely with the guitar, although he wrote, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, mostly for the bandoneon.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Astor Piazzolla.
Yes, he wrote for ensemble quite a bit. And he always featured the guitar in his quintet or in his sextet, but largely was using the guitar as a rhythmic instrument in those settings.
You mean a lot of percussion effects?
Yes, uh-huh. exactly. He did write 5 pieces for the solo guitar. He wrote a wonderful duet called Tango Suite that we've recorded and is now in the library of
Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank
yes.
you very much.
And this particular piece we're going to play is called Lo Que Vendrá. And it was one of the first pieces that Piazzolla wrote in what he called the Nuevo Tango, the new style, the new music of Buenos Aires. Thank you.
The sound of Astor Piazzolla is played by two guitarists, the Newman and Altman guitar duo. They've come out of their way to be on the midday today. They're playing in Milwaukee tonight at the UW Milwaukee. And now, the guy that I mentioned at the top.
Oh, sorry.
And we have some good examples of Isaac Albanus, who was a fascinating person, but also a composer who wrote for the piano, but reminiscent of the guitar. And so I assume that that these things do fall very gracefully under the fingers of the guitarist.
It's our job to make it seem that way, yes. You know, when he wrote for the piano, largely imitating the sounds that he was hearing of flamenco music, the music of the Spanish gypsies, that's so much guitar-based, that music. I think pianists always found it difficult to play. Guitarists have been playing Albanus since way
still
back
wet,
when,
yeah.
Even during Albanus's lifetime. We found that by doing these arrangements for two guitars, and we're going to play four pieces tonight at the concert, we can play in the original keys, we can play complete sets of the pieces, and we find that it might be easier to play more of the notes, but then the difficulty is being as an ensemble. You know, if you're just on one piano, it's easy to make your hands work together, more or less. But with two guitars, to make it feel like we're all doing the same idea, I mean, obviously that's where the decades of practice comes in.
So we're going to start with, and we'll see how much of these pieces, how many of them we can get in. This is a piece called Rumors of Caleta.
Rumores de la Caleta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a malagueña, and it's the sounds, the murmurings from the beach.
Thank you. Moros de la Caleta by Albenas. And now back with the Newman and Altman guitar duo. And Laura, you actually studied with Andres Segovia?
Well, I took a master class with him. You know, hardly anybody really studied with him uh-huh. because he only ever taught master classes. Uh-huh. He used to teach in a couple of places where, you know, he would be there for, I don't know, a period of time and you might get a few lessons. But I took a master class with him at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and it was the only time he ever did anything in New York City. And there were two classes that day, two sessions. And I, you know, it was pretty big media. It was a big deal to do it. I'm not sure if it was like the greatest learning environment because it was just such a
kind of a carnival.
Yeah, kind of. It was. It was a very carnival-like atmosphere. And he was pretty old by then. And I think, you know, he got tired.
It's a lot of notes.
I mean, I was in the beginning of it. By the end, I was getting pretty.
And I remember that Laura played Albéniz for him.
I did.
She played Granada. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful piece. Yeah.
And it was something he played, too.
Sure, yeah.
But both of our main teachers also worked with Segovia, Oscar Giglia, with whom we studied sure. at Aspen Music Festival and in Siena, Italy. He was one of Segovia's devotees. And my teacher in New York, Albert Valdez Blaine, a Cuban guitarist, had also studied with Segovia. So we come from that tradition for sure.
Well, let's get back to Albéniz in that spirit. This is the prelude to Cantos de España.
Thank you.
prelude to Cantos de España by Isaac Albéniz, who, by writing a lot of piano music, provided some of the best guitar music out there. And those performances, that performance in particular, came from Michael Newman and Laura Altman, the Newman and Altman guitar duo who have been my guests today. They're performing tonight, UW-Milwaukee, Peck Recital Hall at 7:30. And next time you're in the neighborhood, stop by.
Thanks very much.
It has been a great pleasure having you right here in the studio and watching you in action close up.
And not too much fighting. We save our fighting for later in the day.
There was a little bit before we started.
Oh, okay.
There was a little dicey for a while there. That's all part of great art, isn't it?
And 32 years of marriage, yes.
Oh, congratulations.